I had an opportunity a few weeks ago to go and grab coffee with one of the local pastors here in San Antonio, and I love doing that when I get a chance to. We've got some of the best pastors right here in San Antonio and in the Hill Country anywhere, and so I love to get to spend time with them. And so I got a chance to grab coffee with one, and we were having a conversation. We're just kind of chopping up, you know, we're just talking about family. We're talking about how are things going with the church, and then the conversation got real. Real fast. He looked down at his coffee and he said, Do you ever feel like giving up? I said, you mean giving up, like, you know, wondering if what you're doing is making any difference? I said, you mean like giving up, like somebody told you they were leaving the church because of a decision that you made? That kind of giving up? You mean the kind of giving up where you just wonder if your best is ever going to be good enough? He said, yeah. I said, nope, just you. I've never experienced that. No, I did not do that. I wanted to, but I did not. I'd seen that look in his eyes because I'd seen it in the mirror many times. I told him, I said, yes, I have. Felt like giving up. I hope it's okay if I admit that in front of you today, that, wow. Because sometimes we wonder, like I've started a lot of conversations with God. Are you sure that I got this right? Like, are you sure that you're calling me? Are you sure you don't have a long list of people who could do this job better than me? Or we have those doubts, and there were times, there are moments, there have been days where I just felt like just giving up. What about you? Is it just me, or is there anybody else in this house today, anybody watching online who has ever felt like giving up? Sure. Would you be willing, just a show of hands, just somebody who's felt like, wow. Okay, if you think you're the only one, did you see that? If you felt like you're the only one who's thought about giving up, friend, you need to know you are not alone. You are not alone. We've felt the feeling. We've felt the feeling because, well, life just doesn't go as we plan, now does it? Anybody ever experienced that, life not going as you planned it? Okay, good. I'm just making sure that I'm in the right room. You didn't plan to have a learning disability where you'd have to work 10 times harder than anybody else in the classroom. You didn't plan that. You didn't plan to find that lump in your breast. You didn't plan to find that spot in your lung or that tumor on your brain. These are all just things that are happening in our body right now. You didn't plan to get divorced so early in life. You didn't plan to get divorced so late in life. You didn't plan to have a miscarriage. And you sure didn't plan to have multiple. You didn't plan to go to school and be bullied. You didn't plan to go to church and feel like you're just being judged. We know the feeling. And that's why we also know this question. What do I do when I feel like giving up? What do I do when I feel like giving up? The Apostle Paul, we're looking at a letter that he wrote to a group of people who lived in a place called Philippi. It was the church of the Philippians. And the Apostle Paul, for him, this question, it was not theoretical. This question was real life. You see, as he writes the letter that we've been reading over the last few weeks, he's imprisoned, he's alone, he's awaiting his fate to find whether he would live or die. And yet what we see in Paul's life, and the reason why we even care what he has to say, let's just be honest, is because we see this supernatural peace in his life, regardless of his circumstances, in the midst of the suffering. You see, Paul had this long list of letdowns, yet he refused to give up. Today we're going to see how. Today we're going to see what it was about Paul that he just refused to give up. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to pick up in verse 12. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. And here's what the Apostle Paul writes. Not that I have already obtained all this. Now, what is the all this? Well, that was in the previous verses. The all this is knowing Christ, knowing the power of his resurrection. He says, not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal. Here's Paul with this mentality. I want us to take a look at this mentality of his. He's the guy who wrote most of what, or large portion of what we call our New Testament. He's the guy who planted all these churches, went on all these missionary journeys. And yet even Paul, late in life, a mature believer, mature in Christ, is saying, I've not arrived. Now, somebody needs to hear this today because somebody's early on, maybe you're just exploring the claims of Jesus, or you've just begun your journey into faith, and you look around and you feel like everybody's got it all together. Everybody, they know how to look, they know how to talk, they know when to stand up and when to sit down, they know how to pray, and it just feels like, no, listen, it does not matter how long you have been following Jesus. We all still struggle. We all are still learning. We are all still growing. You need to know, if that's you, you need to know you're surrounded by a group of imperfect people, okay? They have outsinned you 10 to 1. I'm just saying. But this is the truth, that we're always growing. Think about this mentality of Paul. Because this is what allowed him to say, you see, for Paul, the Christian life, sometimes we think about becoming a Christian or being baptized or accepting Christ as kind of like the finish line, right? Like a destination in life, or check that box. But the truth is, the Apostle Paul, this was different in his mentality. He never saw the Christian life as a destination in life. He saw it as a direction of his life. Do you see the difference? This was a difference in this mentality, and it allowed him to say what he wrote next. He said, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Every week we've been looking at a different I statement that Paul has made in these different passages. Today we're looking at where he says, I press on. Turn to your neighbor and say, I press on. Okay. This time, I want you to say it like you really mean it. Say, I press on. You see, because in the Greek language, there's no exclamation point, but the language that Paul is using right here, it is strong language. He says, I press on, and I am taking hold. This idea of taking hold, it comes from the same root word as the word apprehend. You're starting to get a little bit of a picture of this. Let me see if I can illustrate it this way. My second oldest son, Landon, is a defensive lineman at Abilene Christian University. He is 6'3", 315 pounds. People look at me and they're like, where did he get his size? I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't... He's a big boy. And last night, I wasn't able to go, but Alicia and Jackson, they were able to go and watch him in his first open scrimmage, and they sent me videos. Let me tell you, I love watching him fire off the line and bust through the line and go after that quarterback. And when he catches him, I'm cheering for Landon, but I'm praying for the other guy because they're not handing out hugs out there. That's not what's going on. If you don't understand football, that's not what's going on. And so you start to get this idea of what Paul's talking about when he says, take hold. I mean, I don't know, maybe you could almost translate it like tackle, you know? Sorry, it's almost football season. Just get ready.
The illustrations are coming. This idea, there's an aggressiveness to it. So tackling, Paul is saying, I want to take hold of Jesus. Okay, that may not be the right, he's not saying I want to tackle Jesus, that's probably the wrong image. But he's not like sitting back. Sometimes we do this, we go, you know what, Jesus is good for me, he's a good option, maybe he's a good option for you. That is not what Paul is saying. Paul's saying, I'm taking hold. There is urgency here. It's like the clock is winding down, and there is passionate pursuit of Jesus, urgency, intentionality, focus. This isn't something that Paul is just kind of leaving up to chance. He's saying, I am taking hold. Well, Paul, what are you taking hold of? I'm taking hold of this new life in Christ, because you know what? Christ already took hold of it for me. I'm taking hold of resurrection life in Christ because Christ already took hold of it for me. He says, this is how I press on. This is what I do. He goes on to continue to write. He says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Okay? This is what I love about Paul. He's not just going to tell us to press on. He's going to tell us how to do it. He says, this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. The first thing that Paul says, if you want to be able to press on, then number one, you got to forget the past. Now, when he talks about forgetting what is behind and straining to what is ahead, he's not talking about your memory of the past fading. He's talking about the power of the past fading over your life. He says, forget the past. I can't help but wonder what Paul might have been thinking about when he wrote those words. Was Paul thinking about his past successes? Maybe. I mean, he's already told us in verses previous to this that everything that he considered success, now he considers it garbage, rubbish. Paul knew that yesterday's successes could rob him of today's humility. So I don't know, maybe past successes, maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was past hurts. You know, Paul had his share of past hurts. He'd been beaten. He'd been wrongfully accused. Paul had even had disagreements with other Jesus followers. You ever had a disagreement with another Jesus follower? Okay, I'm just making sure I'm in the right room. Now, read Acts 15. Paul and Barnabas are about to go toe-to-toe over who they're going to take on their missionary journey. And I wonder if maybe Paul thought about that. I wonder if maybe some of that hurt from those conversations, some of the words that you just can't take back. I wonder. You see, you knew that yesterday's hurts could rob you of today's joy. Successes, hurts. Maybe it wasn't either one of those things. Maybe Paul was thinking about past mistakes, where Paul was the one hurting others. You see, in another life, Paul was the one who was taking the lives of Jesus' followers. I wonder if Paul ever ran into a woman who was a widow because of him. I wonder if Paul ever walked down the street, ran into a young man who said, Paul, you're the reason I don't know my father. I don't know. I don't know if that ever happened to him, but I wonder if that's ever happened to you. You know that you are no longer who you were then, but somebody, somewhere, or something shows up and it stirs up guilt inside of you, and all of a sudden you are right back there in your past. And maybe that someone who won't let you let go of the past is you. Friend, listen to me, whether it's past mistakes or past hurts or even past successes, if you want to press on, you got to move on. There are times in life where if you want to be able to press on, you have to move on. You have to strain ahead, to reach ahead to what lies ahead. Paul doesn't just tell us to do this. He's actually going to show us how we do this as he continues to write. Join together in following my example. Brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. What is he saying? He's saying, if you want to be able to press on, if you want to be able to move on in your life from whatever that is that's been holding you back, then number two, here's what you need to do. Number two, you got to find Jesus followers. Paul says, follow my example. Now, this isn't a boastful thing for him to say. He's saying, follow my example. And there are others. Follow their example as well. Find the people who the Holy Spirit is changing them from the inside out, and just observe and watch. Because here's the truth. You're going to become most like who you spend most of your time with. And some of you, you're wanting to grow spiritually, but you're spending time with the people who don't have the same agenda. You got to find Jesus followers. This is why we here at Oak Hills are so passionate. You hear us talk all the time about biblical community, biblical community. Get in a small group. Serve together. Because that's where the power is at. This is why we're so passionate about investing in the next generation and discipling the next generation and serving in ministries like children and students. Because we know it's one thing to hear the story of Jesus. It's one thing to read the story of Jesus, but it is another thing to see Jesus come to life in someone else. And the closer you can get to that, the more likely you are to be able to press on, because you have someone to press on with. Some of you experience this and you know it to be true. And some of you are still going, I don't know. If you want to press on, if you want to move on, find some people to press on with. Paul goes on to write, he says, for as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Who's he talking about? He says, their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. What Paul is saying is that sometimes we need to live in light of the future reality. What is that future reality? Here's the third thing that if you want to be able to press on, here's the third thing that Paul encourages us to do. Imagine the future. Imagine the future. Paul is he's contrasting two different sets of people. One person has their mind set on all the earthly things. Okay? So, and here's why. Because what's implied here, these people at Philippi, they're an outpost of the Roman Empire. So here's how this works. Rome calls the shots. And Rome tells Philippi how they are to conduct their business and how they are to go about life. And now, Roman citizenship, it was good. It had some perks. You had some tax privileges. It was a pretty sweet deal for them. So they understand what Paul's saying. They understand how strong this language is. You are not first and foremost a citizen of the Roman Empire. Paul says, you are a citizen of heaven. What does that mean? That means that heaven is calling the shots. And that you're a part of the church. And when you're a part of the church, you are an outpost in enemy territory. You are an outpost. And you do things the way that heaven says do things. And you conduct your business and you live life like heaven tells you to live life. You're a citizen of heaven. And Paul is writing to these people who are struggling just like he is, and he's wanting to encourage them. And what does he say? He says, eagerly await the return of your Savior. He is coming back. I don't know how often your thoughts go to that place. We wake up every day, and one of my first thoughts, a lot of times, I'll be honest with you, it's getting through the day. It's the to-do list. It's what do I... Instead of getting through the day, what if we started and we just said, today might be the day that he returns? I had an opportunity, when our kids were still young, there was a lady, Miss Claudia. She was an elderly lady at our church, and she called me one day because she and her family had come together and they had decided to call in hospice. Her health was failing. So she just asked if we would come visit. And so our little family piled in her little living room and she sat there in her chair that she spent more time than I think she had ever wanted to spend in that chair. We talked and we prayed together. And then she said, before you leave, she pointed over to a bookshelf, to a hymn book. She said, would you pick that up? And before you leave, could we just sing together? She had been confined to her living room for some time. And this was before the day of being able to watch online, and it had been a while since she had heard some of these songs. I said, Miss Claudia, what do you want to sing? She said, well, I really like Blessed Assurance. I said, okay, we'll do it. Sing Blessed Assurance. And we did. And she said, could you sing? She thought about it. She said, could you sing This World Is Not My Home? I said, yeah, Miss Claudia, we can sing that. And then she said, one last song, one last request. She said, will you sing to me of heaven? I said, yeah, I think we can sing that song. Seemed appropriate at the time. The lyrics are, sing to me of heaven, sing that song of peace. Peace. From the toils that bind me, it will bring release. Burdens will be lifted that are pressing me, so showers of great blessing, or my heart will flow. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. And sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven, the sweetest song of all. She had long since, she had closed her eyes. She was still there with us physically, but her mind had gone somewhere else. And when we had finished singing, her body was not any stronger. But man, her spirit sure was. And you know what? Mine was too. You may not be able to choose your circumstances, but you can choose how you respond to them. And if you've ever felt like giving up, have you tried looking up? And just let heaven be the reminder that what you're going through right now, the suffering that you're enduring, that feeling of wanting to give up, it will not last forever. If the writings of Paul have taught us anything, if the resurrection of Jesus Christ has taught us anything, it is this. Our suffering won't last forever. Why? Because the suffering of Christ was not final, so neither is yours. One of these days, Christ is going to return. He's going to call us home. You see, we're not home yet. I know it kind of feels like it. Sometimes we get really comfortable. But we're not home yet. One of these days we will be. And each one of us will not only see Jesus face to face, but his hands will touch our face for this purpose, to wipe away every tear. You see, this is a place where there's no sadness. There's no pain, there's no crying, there's no grief. And I think one of the reasons why Paul is writing is he's just saying, friends, don't forget what the future holds. Press on. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, press on. So, here's the challenge for us. Forget the past, find Jesus followers, imagine the future, and imagine how your life could change if you just picked one of these this week. Imagine how the lives of those around you would be blessed if you chose just one of these this week. What about you? Which one is kind of grabbing your heart? Which one is God calling you to? How about we just take a moment just to listen to God, just to see what he might say to us? I want to invite you to stand. I want to invite our elders and their wives and our prayer ministers to come down front. And we're just going to take a few moments to listen to God. Maybe you want someone to pray with you, to pray for you. Maybe it's something in your past and you want to forget it, but you don't even know where to start. Well, this is where you start, in prayer. Maybe some of you, today is day one, and you're receiving Jesus for the very first time, and you're placing your confidence and your trust in him for the very first time, believing that he has the power to save you from sin and the power to resurrect you as well. If that's you, church, can we just join heaven right now and just give praise for anyone who's made that decision? You see, heaven throws a party when you make that decision. But there's a day coming, heaven's going to throw another party when you come home. So this is an opportunity to receive prayer. Whatever that is that may be weighing on you that you walked in here with, you do not have to carry it out of here. You don't have to carry it out of here. You can leave it at the foot of the cross. I pray that you'll do so. Let's just spend a moment reflecting.